Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on November 18th, 2020. So thanks for being with us today. And if you're listening on the archives, you already know this, but I'm going to say it, that we archive all of our shows over at our consortium website, which is ace-ed.org. That's the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Go over to ace-ed.org. You'll see a podcast icon. Go over there, and everything we do is right there. Also, you'll notice our magazine, which is Equity in Access, which is excellent. We've got a new issue, not coming off the presses because it's all online and digital, but a new issue coming out either today or tomorrow online. I'll let everybody know when that happens. We're running one day late. We wanted it today, okay, but we think it's going to be up there tomorrow. So what can I do? My partner in the consortium, Maya, tried her best, but we just couldn't get it done by today. So it's tomorrow. It'll be up there. Okay, that'll be the November-December issue. And it's really a good issue, 67 pages strong or more, okay, of great advertising and editorial, all about equity and access to learning. So please go over to ace-ed.org. If you're an educator or in the industry, contact us, but join the consortium if you're an educator in pre-K-12. It's free. All right, all that information, everything is there for you, and we'll keep you posted on all the things that are going on with it. Okay, again, ace-ed.org. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio and also at Access to Equity ED. That's Access, the number 2, Equity ED. Over on LinkedIn, it's my name, Larry Jacobs, and on Facebook, it's both my name, which is still Larry Jacobs, and also at Education Talk Radio. You can friend us, follow us, link with us, etc. My friends from IZIT.org, I-Z-Z-I-T, IZIT.org, are back. The best free resources you can get on the web. They're for educators, and I've got Susan Gable and Dean Graziano here. And while we're talking, you just go over to IZZIT.org. Going to the ladies first. Hang tight, Dean. Good morning, Susan. It's Larry.
Good morning, Larry. It's wonderful to be with you again.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I've done some mathematics. You ready for this?
Oh, well, lay it on me.
Okay. You wrote me that you've been with IZIT.org for 7.5 years and that you taught elementary school for 10 years in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Am I correct?
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I have determined that you are over 18 years old.
Yes, that I will confess to that. I'll admit to that one, yeah.
I happen to be a math wizard, one of these savants that you hear about. I was able to determine that from what the information you gave me. Is that amazing or what?
That was very Rain Man-esque, yes.
Thank God. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But there is one serious question before we get into everything else and I go over to Dean. You wrote me, and I did not know this, you were a USA Today best-selling author. Hello?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'll confess to that as well.
Confessed. What did you write?
I am on the side. I am a romance novelist as well, and so one of my romance novels has hit the USA Today bestsellers list 2 times now. So very exciting stuff.
That is exciting. Do you write under your own name, Susan Gable?
I write as Susan Gable. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Their family. Thank you. They're family drama romance novels, but yeah.
I really congratulate you for that. That is a fantastic accomplishment. I mean that.
Thank you.
Besides what you do every day. That is great. Congratulations. Would you name the book for us so that people can...
That one's called A Hero to Keep. A Hero to Keep is the first one in the trilogy. It was actually the second book, A Family to Keep, that hit the USA Today bestsellers list.
A Family to Keep, which is the sequel to A Hero to Keep. Is that correct?
That's right.
By Susan
Gable.
I wanted to give you the plug. Congratulations. That's really cool. I bet my friend Dean Graziano has never written a romance novel. You don't look the type, Dean, have you? Buddy?
Not at all, but thank goodness I have Susan because I refer to her as the Gable Grammar. So before I send out something lengthy that needs to be proofed, there's no one better as a team member. Kind of give it what I refer to as the Gable Grammar, Larry.
Boy, you ain't kidding. I do that with my wife all the time, okay? She's the English major in college, Okay, so I said that, I said everything to her. That is great. Dr. Graziano, I'm late at. You have your Juris Doctor from Mass School of Law. And let me tell you about Dean, who's what's your title? VP over at isit.org. Okay, he's,
yeah,
am I right?
Vice President of Education.
Thank you. I didn't have the words of education here. 25 years teaching experience, and most of that, if I'm not mistaken, was Massachusetts and New Hampshire, right?
Mass and Connecticut, then New Hampshire.
Connecticut left you out of there. And this is really cool. That just tells you the kind of cool people it is at Great Company. Okay, you have been awarded the U.S. Department of Education's American Star of Teaching Award. Congratulations. What is that? That's cool.
Back in 07, there was, I think it started in 06 through Margaret Stellings, then obviously the Secretary of Education, and you got nominated by school, superintendent, et cetera, and you didn't know the Department of Ed did a surprise visit. Unfortunately, most recently, Rogers Johnson, who was at the Seacoast NAACP, was at that time working for the U.S. Department and actually gave me the award, and he just passed last week. So that really hit home.
Oh, my Lord.
Because he didn't just say, here's the award and the surprise visit. He actually came afterwards and sat down and talked about what's going on in the classroom.
Oh.
You know, you've got a tremendous amount of support. You know, what are you doing and how? So in essence, it was a program in which each state had a U.S. Star teaching when we worked together on kind of like national lesson plans, things of doing the No Child Left Behind, which was in place at that time, and how to really make impactful curriculum assessments and teaching for your classrooms.
Wow. Congratulations, man. Go over that gentleman's, I think it was a gentleman, that person's name again.
Rogers Johnson. He was at the time from the history. He was down at the United States Department of Ed, and he was the one that, I guess because it was Connecticut and it was close to proximity from his New Hampshire roots, he actually came up and was the rep that gave it to me, and it was kind of unfortunate. Last week I had read it in the paper that he passed, and it was just such an impact he had on me on just one day. So I would like to get that out, that he was an incredible educator.
Thank you for saying that, and to a degree eulogizing him. That's a nice thing to say. Thank you, Dean. That's great. And again, congratulations. You also won the New Hampshire Extended Learning Opportunity Coordinator of the Year. Extended Learning Opportunity Coordinator of the Year. Point of all this, everybody, they know their stuff. So let's talk about isit. All right, and I'm going to throw these to Susan, who's the director of education over there, and she can pass whatever she wants over to Dean. And my suggestion, pass the hard questions to Dean, Susan, okay?
That sounds like a plan. All right.
There you go. And I want to say this. Isit.org, I-Z-Z-I-T, Z-Z, okay? Isit.org, everybody. And I want to say this word loud and clear. Free resources for educators. And these are top quality. And in these days, these are all video streaming, that kind of stuff. They're going to explain in a minute on civics, history, financial literacy, all that sort of stuff. Okay? Go take a look. This is the best kept secret in education by far and away. Okay? And in this day and age, with remote learning and always looking for quality materials that you can rest assured are quality and you can get to your kids and get them excited and engaged, isit.org. Did I just take the whole show away from you, Susan? Did I do that?
Well, I think you did a beautiful recap, so an overview. So, you know,
I mean it.
We appreciate that. And again, I think you've really, you know, you've hit on the high points. Free, and who doesn't love free, right?
Who doesn't
but
love free?
But also quality.
Yeah,
quality,
thank you.
Not, you know, a lot of our materials come from documentaries that have been produced and aired on public television.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, it's quality.
It is. And talk about, Susan, the grade levels we're talking about, okay, and who can access these. And also, when I say access, that's a key word. Streaming, are they DVDs? Just go over all that sort of stuff. And I'll ask Susan. Dean, you want to chime in? Just scream out. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any educator can access and create a free account at our website. And by educator, we don't just include you know, what we consider a traditional classroom teacher. We include homeschoolers. We include today, I mean, let's face it right now with the virus, pretty much all parents are educators as well. So any of those kinds of people, scout leaders, Boys and Girls Club leaders, anyone like that is welcome to create an account on izzy.org and access those materials.
That is so important. Thank you for clearing that up, because that's a key thing, and it hadn't even occurred to me with the parents. It's everybody's looking for great stuff. This is thank you, Susan, for saying that. It's open to everybody. Okay, Dean, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, not at all. I think the other two, though, is the tutors. There are a growing number of people out there that are actually helping, albeit like the standardized testing, et cetera. And we were, just interviewed by New England Tutors for their newsletter.
Good.
And there's just an increasing number of tutors that are like, well, I'm going in and it might be an AP history class or an economics or something. And they're using our material. So it's, as Susan said, hit the nail on the head. It's any educator, and I say family educators, the ones that are now at home really working with a member of their students.
And you know how we feel about equity here. We were on the American Consortium for Equity, for goodness sakes. This is free to everyone. The big complaint is that sometimes an under-resourced schools, the right materials are not there. Okay, there is no such thing as under-resourced, okay, when you have IZIT at your disposal. Dean, want to comment on that? I mean, this is an equity thing. Besides the great learning, it's an equity thing. Dean?
I think the first time we met, Larry, that was one of the first question you came out with and asked right at me. It was, I think, my third week on the job. and basically, my answer back was it's our materials help build that environment, the interaction and communication with every student in every district, promotion of the critical thinking, tools for independent learning, hopefully getting the students to have that natural curiosity and fascination for knowledge and understanding, isn't stopped by budget concerns or isn't halted by, if it sounds good, we'll have to put it for next year. It's here now. Use it.
There is no such thing as an under-resourced school when the resources are quality and free. I'm going to say it again, izzit.org. Let me ask you, Susan, you've been there for 7.5 years. Dean, you've been there for a little less. Okay, well, actually, a lot less. About, you've been there, what, 2 years now? Right? Dean?
Went on 4 months.
That's all?
He's a newbie.
Yeah,
he's our newbie. New guy.
That's all?
Yeah.
I thought it was even longer than that. Okay, when did we have lunch? Was that... That wasn't during the pandemic, was it? When did we have lunch?
Yeah. It was actually the end of July, I think. Almost.
Oh,
yeah, it was the end of July. Yeah.
Wow.
Time has blurred, Larry.
It has kind of blurred.
Really right
has.
Now.
I can't believe it. Okay, I can't believe it. I feel like I'm doing you. Well, yeah. How bizarre. All right. But at any rate, I want to ask this question, and as, I'm going to ask Susan, but you want to swing it to Dean. You can't, Susan. This is free. They're great resources. They're beautifully produced. Okay. Why does it do this? And then maybe the other question is, how do they do it? We should give credit to the people who are funding it and why it even started. Susan, can you give a good answer for that one?
Yeah, the why is because this is really important, Larry. I mean, getting kids to think critically and to ask questions and to dig deeper. Just take a look around our society right now. If that's not an implication that we really do need to dig deeper and ask questions and actually listen to the answers.
Thank
and
you.
Listen to
Thank
people
you.
With different points of view.
Thank you.
You know,
Thank
so
you.
And that's the big why,
so
Larry.
Frustrating.
And again, I actually said the other day in the office, I said, you know, I look around and every day I see more and more the reason why what we do is so important.
It is.
It really is. And as to the how is, you know, we're a nonprofit and we are funded by lots of various business folks who also agree with the why, that this is an important thing and that our society really needs a whole generation of kids who have been brought up and educated in this critical thinking, question asking, you know,
It's so cool. And I have to ask. And I have to ask this question because you wanted me to ask this question, and I don't know why you wanted me to ask this question, but I'm going to ask the question because you wanted me to. Okay, you wait. Can people call you guys on the phone, and what happens if they do, or should they just work through the website? Maybe I'll ask it that way, Susan, before we go into anything else.
Absolutely, they can call us on the phone. And the beautiful thing is, there's no phone tree. You're going to get an actual honest to goodness person. Are located in, that's exactly it. We're located in Erie, Pennsylvania. Yeah, we're located in Erie, Pennsylvania, and our customer service, you know, a lot of educational companies, they offer great materials, but they don't necessarily have the great support behind it. We have a great support team behind it as well. And people can call us. Our phone number is on our website. And people can call us between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern time. They're going to get an actual honest-to-goodness Erie, Pennsylvania person. Or, well, they might get Dean, maybe. And he's not in Erie, but he's still in the United States. So there you go.
Yeah, and he speaks beautiful English. So, right, Dean, say something. So we know that, Dean.
Well, thank you, Larry.
There you go. There you go.
I would just jump on that one more thing about what you can expect or why. I think the other thing is, as you had mentioned or kind of alluded to, Susan's 7-plus years, if you look at the average of someone that's going to be answering the phone call, less me, I'm the curve, you're looking at someone who can readily resolve issues, albeit a password. I forgot my password. To, you know, I'm looking at this material and I'm not sure. And you've got an engaged staff member that knows the entire library that can say, try this, use that. We also have a blog in which we're modeling our resources. So here's me in the classroom saying, here's how I used it. Try it. It worked. It didn't. So there's really a great way if you still are looking for other answers besides talking to someone, you'll find a way in which how you can model our resources just going onto our website.
And just explain, Dean, while I got you here, because I want to explain to people, obviously Susan's been there for 7.5 years. You have a large list of educators already. I want to make sure that people understand this is not some new fly-by-night thing. This is a terrific, well-established thing that too many people don't know about, if I may. How many people are on the list? How many people
are
users?
We have over 300. Well, keep in mind this is a 14-and-a-half-year culminating list. So we have over 300,000 educators, which is pretty great considering we're the best-kept secret. So those are good numbers. Our feedback that we're getting from educators that take a look at our material. So while we say no cost, there's one piece that I really want to mention. To us, to keep striving to be better, this internal improvement process, there's no registration. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. But what we ask, educator uses the material with their student or students, take the feedback survey. Under 3 minutes, that keeps us providing top-shelf stuff. It's making us be better at what we do.
Great.
I think that's an
great
important
request
that I wanted to get out to educators.
It's incredibly important. The feedback loop, I can't say enough about the feedback loop. You're absolutely right. I hope people do. I want everybody to get involved with you guys, and then, B, keep giving you feedback because you want that. And I noticed something. I don't know if it's new on your website. Susan, I'm going to ask you this. The current events piece you guys have, which I think is really important. Okay, I mean, you guys are experts. We'll talk about the greatest hits in a minute. But there's a current events piece. Can you speak with that one, Susan, or you want to give one to Dr. Dean?
Well, I can address it. I mean, again, current events is really, again, one of those really critical things. And we actually, it's been around for quite some time. We've had current events since before I started. So, you know, it's over 7.5 years that we've had the current events program. And it's two lessons every day, two articles of different reading levels, and each one has vocabulary words and higher level discussion questions. Now, of course, also the discussion questions can be used as writing prompts as well, but they are always, they're not just factual recall, not just go look at the article and see what the answer is. It's not who, what, where, you know, it's more of the why and the how and what do you think about these things. Again, addressing the why do we do this, and it's getting kids to ask these questions and think about the different answers.
Yeah, there are different answers, and we have to respect everybody's answers. What grades are we talking about?
For current events, pretty much grades like 7 through seniors in high school. Again,
okay.
It's going to depend on their reading level. As I said, we do put a reading level on our material. I happen to think they skew a little higher than they actually are, but we wanted to give educators a quick way to sort of, you know, evaluate whether they'd
sure.
be appropriate or not. We do our best to find the lower level ones, but you know, believe it or not, they say that news articles should be written on a sixth grade level, right, for the average American, which that's a whole different discussion that
yeah,
we
sure
could
is.
Have someday.
Jeez.
Yeah, but really they're not. And again, it just has to do with, you know, the number of syllables in a word, the number of syllables in a sentence, the kinds of sentence structures, those kinds of things. But it's
yeah,
a great program. And again, free. So
free. Thank you. Freeisit.org, everybody. Okay. You said that the current events were for grades 7 through 12. How about the vast bulk of your materials?
Do you want to take that or you want me?
Well, pretty much the same area. I mean, we have what's a program called Pups of Liberty, which really gets down to the elementary level. But I would say, Larry, and for the educators listening, it's pretty much set for that 6 through 12 set. While we still have additional materials, as mentioned, for the elementary, I think the folk, the major pitch right now until we get into the 22-23 school year where we have that on the back burner and we're developing programs as we go for the elementary, our target audience is really the 6th through 12th grader.
6th through 12th. Thank you. That's excellent to know. And I must ask this, and Dean, take this one. As you know, and I described your company, you can go into more detail, but I described it as a lot of lessons, of course, current events in civics, history, financial literacy, that sort of stuff. Kind of, if I may, you can change this if you want, a social studies kind of look at things, if I may, okay, say that. But as you know, there are people who are liberal and people who are conservative. We're certainly learning that as we get through this year. Okay, and every school has the problem of balancing that, okay, because you want kids to critically think about their answers, not just spontaneously come up with something because mom and dad are liberal or mom and dad are conservative, okay, and we don't want them to get their news from either Fox or MSNBC only. We want them to critically think, okay, so Dean, just talk about, if you can, how you tread that balance, if I may, or have you thought about that? Whatever you want to answer that, go for it.
Sure. Well, I think first and foremost, that's the whole mindset when you talk about that environment, the critical thinking, the tools for that learning. You're really trying to get students to dig deeper. Certainly most states have the work-study practices or dispositions, however they say it, and that's the collaboration, the team building, the communication, the critical thinking, and the self-direction or self-reliance. So when we develop the content for the materials, that's all well-balanced, or that's really kind of considered that multiple viewpoint. The whole process to supplement the materials, albeit the teacher guide or the sub-guide, actually talks about how you can maybe stir up like a discussion question, setting the stage, kicking off a class. I'm not going to presume. I'm pretty sure anyone that's listening to this, the educators, even the ones that are working at home, because they now have pretty much almost three quarters of a year in becoming a teacher, right? So the materials allow you to set a stage, kick off a discussion, that awareness. And again, there's this great teachable moment. I'm just going to jump for a second called Reading Matters by Thomas Sowell. And he talks about like at 8 years of age, he got a friend to bring him to the library. And that really, when you said Fox or MSNBC, the program, the push for our students is to say, okay, read, research, dig deeper. It's up to you. Instead of walking in with, as you said, the blind masses are not really kind of doing your own thought, but you're actually looking or listening
to
others.
It's troublesome.
That's what we did.
It's troublesome.
And we just did. I'm teaching a civics class, a pilot civics class here in Dover, New Hampshire.
Oh.
And we're using just it.org resources. We created a mock election program. We actually had the I voted stickers to emulate, you know, so that the student actually feels what it's very. But the key is, and here's the balance. We did it nationally, and Susan, was it 49 states participated?
49 states participated. Yes.
Wow.
I I think Vermont was the only one that
didn't have.
It begs
the question. Wait a minute. It begs the question, which one didn't? That I got to ask. Which one didn't?
Vermont.
I think it was Vermont.
Vermont? I'm shocked. But anyway, go ahead. You hear that for a moment? Go ahead. Anyway,
so with that being said, we laid it out. I started the class with the reading matters. And it's like, okay, when you're listening to Fox and you're listening, bring it in the middle and research. And are they saying, do we believe everything that we're being told? And the point was that there was a spread. I think both the student group as well as the educator group actually picked Biden. They picked Biden to win. There was a decent spread across the country. Some states aligned with how they actually voted for the president. But where I'm going with this is the students actually came in with questions. They didn't just – and we're talking high school now. And they're coming in, and our materials are laid out. So, you know, here's a look. Here's how we talk. And we talk. And there was that kind of civility. There was that balance of which someone may have agreed, but they didn't. And that's the teacher's job as, the sage on the stage or guide on the side to sit there and jump in and say, okay, they have the right to an opinion, blah, blah, blah. Let's expound upon it. Make a defense of your argument. And to me, that's the way a classroom should really be run. And as we move forward, it was great to see that the students afterwards, they all celebrated because I bought lunch for them. But at the end of the day, they all came together and it wasn't like voted for so-and-so and you better. They got together and they saw that, hey, each one, some did really better research. They were better prepared to make the decision. That doesn't negate the fact that someone who wasn't prepared still had their opinion or their vision. At the end, we were all students together, just like the general population.
Nice.
Move forward.
Nicely
I think
said.
That and back to the skills or the question, I think that's what we take into balance is that there's multiple viewpoints and we really want to make sure that the students are digging deeper. They're becoming self-directed learners. Find the source. Find what you need to make an informed decision.
And I can also speak,
Susan.
Larry, to the fact that with current events, you can imagine that sometimes our current events articles can hit a little, cause a little bit of a fiery reaction on occasion. But there have been definite times when we get emails from teachers chastising us for an article, and I have teachers both yelling, this is too conservative, and others saying this is too liberal. Too far right and too far left.
Damn.
And I'm like, I need to put you people together because you're talking about the exact same article. But that's what we want to show, right? Like, you bring your own perspective to it, and you interpret it based on your own point of view. So interesting stuff.
Absolutely. And I love that. The same article, it's too liberal, it's too conservative, which is so perfect, so well said for these crazy days we live in. Okay, and it just goes to show you the view depends on the point of view, as I always like to say. It's that simple. And congratulations. Yeah. They were great answers, guys, on that question. I described it, I'm going to say this again, as civics history, financial literacy, current events, that sort of stuff, kind of a social studies bent. Would you, I'll ask Susan on this one. Susan, would you describe it that way?
That's our primary kind of focus. We're very social studies, economics, and that kind of leaning.
I forgot about
economics, We do have science material. We do have stuff that's music. And one of the things that we really like to do is to integrate our materials so that they can be used in multiple classrooms.
Thank you.
Family and consumer science teachers use us. Business teachers use us. Psychology teachers use our materials. So language arts is huge. Again, our current events lessons are perfect for language arts. But all of our materials have these supplemental teacher guides, and there are always writing activities and writing prompts in those as well. So, we really do our best to look at the material from, again, multiple points of view as far as subject-wise goes.
That's excellent, cross-curricular, and it's great. And, what's really fun about that, I just have to say this, teachers are separate, for the most part. I shouldn't say this for the most part, but a certain amount of teachers are separated from each other. And it's harder to work together. So to do a little cross-curricular work, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, so they're probably doing it, and use materials that already are cross-curricular. and get involved, the social studies teacher, get involved, your ELA teacher, et cetera, and you can make this stuff happen. You know, economics teacher can work with the math teacher. Their stuff is built in, okay?
Exactly.
So please just, yes, it's really, really good. What's the Dean kind of gave us a hint a minute ago. I'll ask him, what's coming up? You said 22, 23, but we're just entering 2021. What's coming up, and is it that people should know about, Dean?
Well, I think it's pretty exciting stuff because I think one of the pieces that we've just been kind of asked to write the curriculum and syllabus for is a financial literacy class for credit. We're piloting that in Georgia, in the Georgia standards. It'll be, as I'm doing in the civics class, is it dot only materials, and I'll be doing the actual virtual classroom starting in December.
Cool.
What I love is, as I'm hearing across the country about financial literacy, this is a much needed skill. And when we talk about it, we talk about the Consortium for Equity, financial literacy is the thing that will equal the playing field for all. If you understand it and you know how it'll work and you plan early, you'll break the cycle. And that really makes, I think, a leveled playing field. Again, I talked about the civics piece, not just in my class, but we have civics with Judge Ginsburg. He's doing this amazing piece where
Ginsburg.
He took the 100
That's
questions.
Douglas Ginsburg.
Judge Ginsburg. I'm sorry, Doug Ginsburg, not Ruth Bader. Jeff Ginsburg, and what he's done is he's actually doing the 100 questions for the naturalization and citizenship. And instead of just saying how many amendments are there, 27, he tells what an amendment is. So he takes about 2 to 3 minutes to expound upon those. So a civics teacher could be using this as a resource for a civics class. 19 states require civics. Texas requires the test from the civics piece to be the citizenship test. The other cool part about that is it's not just about the citizenship test itself. It really talks about, as you know, the branches of government. It gets a little bit more in depth. So it could use those questions as a class discussion kickoff, middle of a class from prior to forward knowledge, or even in the COVID world, Monday, Wednesday, Friday's classes, something to say, okay, have this for the next class, or that homework assignment to kind of expound upon the knowledge. So I think that's some really exciting stuff. Susan can jump in because she's got a couple more, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I just want to say one thing. Just 1 second, Susan. Yesterday, by coincidence, I did a show with a gentleman named Craig Cecilio. He got in touch with me. He's an investment guy, and he owns a company that's out in San Diego called DiversaFund. And his concern, because he sees it from the other end, is that there are too many people who are financially illiterate. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And he started this fund. I don't mean to particularly plug him, but it's an interesting thing. DiversaFund, okay, that allows small investors to get involved in the market. All right? And that your point was his point yesterday, Dean, that equity, financial illiteracy is illiteracy is a barrier to equity. You can't get ahead unless you understand what's going on out there financially. So I can't say enough about financial literacy. It's just coincidentally a show I did yesterday. That was my rant, Susan, please.
Well, I was going to say civics illiteracy is also an issue. I cannot remember the exact percentage, but it was appalling the number. There was a group did a study of how many natural-born Americans could pass the naturalization civics test, and it was appalling.
It is appalling. It is.
So, so that's why those two courses are just really, really important things that, you know, we need to combat that illiteracy in both civics and financial areas.
Right, and civics literacy, and Dean can talk about this, so we got to go in just a few minutes, but we will talk about it in the future. Civics literacy involves a lot more than just spitting back rote facts. For example, I know most people can't even name the three branches of government, okay? Executive, legislative, and judicial, by the way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people can't do that, okay? And that's just spitting back a rote answer. But how do they work together, and how they're supposed to work together?
Correct.
Okay, is something else, and I'll use as a current example right now. Okay, the Senate, as an example, and where the founding fathers was not supposed, and this has unfortunately changed over many, many years, not just currently. All right, the Senate was supposed to be a check and balance against the executive. okay? Not
correct.
To work in tandem with the executive. Okay, and that's been a challenge for years and years and years. Okay, and these are the kind of things people need to know, hence civics literacy. Again, an old social studies teacher ranting here. Okay, that's all I can say. Finish up, Susan.
You're singing our song, Larry.
I know.
Definitely.
We're in the same choir. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, we absolutely are. We are also working on some new materials for our Pups of Liberty series that Dean mentioned earlier, which is our materials for the younger students. We're working on some shorts, some short films that are going to use the founding fathers and the framers and characters from that time, along with new characters that have been created by some award-winning animators for us.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually going to focus on some different character standards, like telling the truth.
Nice.
And, you know, standing up
idea.
For people and things. There
yeah.
is an idea. Another
an
another
idea,
thing that we
the
see
truth.
That.
Yeah.
Ah, amazing, right?
Yeah. Okay. Unbelievable. We'll get into that, but you get my point. I'll just leave that one between the lines, and we'll go from there. Okay. Great stuff, guys. I'll plug it again as we leave. We do have to go, so we got another show coming up in a few weeks. All right. So we're going to talk some more about this. Okay. So Dean, thanks a million, my friend. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Terry.
Dean, there, Dean?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what happened, but oh, there
thank
is.
You, Larry, or should I say Brad?
I do look
that's
like Brad.
Right.
You know that. You had lunch with me. What can I tell you? Send
there
a picture
go.
To Susan. Susan, you're wonderful. Thanks again.
Thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
Right. Have a great
it's
Thanksgiving, Larry.
You too, but thank you for reminding me. You guys, too, have a safe Thanksgiving. Not only a great one, a safe one. And we'll talk again soon. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Dean Graziano and Susan Gable from Is It, IZZIT, isit.org. Hello, it's free. It's free resources. There's no such thing as an under-resourced school when every educator can tap into free quality resources. Okay, IZZIT, isit.org. We'll archive at ace-ed.org, speaking of equity. Okay, ace-ed.org, join with us for equity. Okay, my name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.